Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Preacher, the Miracle Man Show here on this Monday, November 19th of 2018. And I'm your host for this show, this episode, the Miracle Man. And I want to say I am very thankful that you, the listeners, would make the choice, the right choice, to get involved and to be a part of this wonderful program, whatever, wherever you may be listening from, whatever device you may be using. I think I'm very grateful to God that you would join this broadcast here. It means a lot to me. And on this Thanksgiving week, I've been thinking the last couple of days. Here in America, we have an awful lot to be thankful for. Figured I'd say a couple of things that I'm thankful for. One, I'm thankful to be alive. Well, many, many, many years ago, when I say many, many years ago, I'm not talking about the I, My Own Grandpa song, you know, the guy who writes it who's like, I don't know how old he was when he wrote it. I'd say like 70-something, maybe 80. And how old would you say he was? Probably like 80 or something when he wrote it? Okay. I'm not talking about many, many years ago when I was 23, which would have been like almost 50 years ago. Wait a minute. It would have been like almost 60 years ago for that guy. I'm talking way bit less than half that kind of many, many years ago. More like when I was like 2, 3, 1.5. I had cancer. That cancer could have taken me, could have taken my life. Right there, my mom, the doctors actually told my mom, we can give Rivers the shot. It'll put him to sleep. And then mom's like, she calls Pastor and he says, Julie, do not take the shot. Do not take it. We're going to stand firm and we're going to pray that you're going to heal Rivers of this cancer. And he stood firm, and look now. I don't have cancer no more. I got healed from it when I was like 3 or whatever. But I'm free from it. It's never come back since. He's healed me from other things, seizures. Those tried to take my life at about that same age. So I'm thankful to be alive. I'm also thankful to be an American because we live in the greatest country on earth. And I don't just say that with pride. I'm not talking the bad kind of pride, but the kind of pride I'm referring to, I can say it with the good kind of pride, like I'm proud to be an American, or at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died gave that right to me. And so I'm very thankful for that. Another thing.
Hey, Rivers, Chloe and Ron are listening right now.
What?
Chloe and Ron are listening right now.
Oh, hi, Chloe. Hi, Raj. I'm so glad that you've chosen to join this program tonight. Another thing that I'm extremely grateful for and thankful to God for is that I'm a Christian. I'm very thankful that I know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. And I'm very grateful that I know that if Jesus came tonight and I were to breathe my last breath, that I would for sure make heaven, no questions asked. I'll just make heaven. Wouldn't have to worry. And I'm just so glad that Jesus saved me, that he died on the cross for my sins. So I want to challenge you, please. This week, don't you dare let this week or this weekend coming up here, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, don't you dare let it just be 4-day weekend where it's just stuff your face and then Black Friday. Just, you know, run to everywhere and everywhere else and you know, spend money you don't have and all that. No, I'm not against Black Friday at all. I love it, but what I'm pointing at is, please, as we go through this week, as we go through this weekend, please think about what you're thankful for. Because we should all have a grateful heart. We should all be kind. We should all be gracious. Grateful for what we have. Because as Americans, in all these other countries, someone has it worse off than us. Most people in most other countries have things worse off than what most of the poorest of Americans do. So, but more important than any of that is we should be thankful to God all the time. And I'm very thankful for God, to God, for what he's done in me and for what he's going to do. Amen. Now, I figured I would talk for a minute about what president came up with the idea of Thanksgiving first. Well, it was actually the very first president, George Washington. In 1789, he said, and I quote, are hereby authorized a day of thanksgiving unto God to be celebrated on November the 26th, next, the last Thursday of November, to be a day of great thanksgiving unto God for all that He has blessed us with, a day of feasting and gladness. So, George Washington was who called for the first Thanksgiving. He also said it should be a day of prayer. I imagine it did not mean all kind of give me, give me, give me prayers for Black Friday. Give me that parking spot. Give me that TV. Give me that. Wouldn't that be crazy? If the day, because too many of us, I feel like Thanksgiving Day, it's all thank you, thank you, thank you. And then the next day, it's give me, give me, give me, want, 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 want. I feel like some of the kids do that to Santa Claus. Don't you think some of them do?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know they do. You know they do. By the way, there's a funny song that, if I can figure a way how to get some of those files on here, there's a certain silly song by Emil Schrobser. It's called Santa Ain't Coming. And it's talking about how these kids are like, give me, I want, bigger, better. We're not supposed to be like that. We should be thankful to God. So, yes, pray for healing, things that you have needed, but ultimately, the day of thanksgiving unto God. So, and let me tell you, that's more important, by the way, than any turkey that anyone's going to make you. Or tofu, or fried chicken, or whatever they do, whatever they make, you know, because different people will do it different ways, you know. What if the whole family's vegan? Then, no, you're not eating no bird then. So, but ultimately, it should be about giving thanks to God. Yes, the food is awesome. Yes, many of us folks are going to watch football. Yes, you're going to hear me talk about that upcoming Lions game just a little bit tonight. I don't know how much, though, but for like a second, maybe. And by the way, yes, I am going to watch that game at my grandpa's. But should really be about giving thanks to God. You know, last night at Living Word, we basically had for basically 50 minutes out of our 1 hour service, we spent 50 minutes up there like singing songs and giving thanks and praise. Worship unto our God. I thought that was a very fitting way to enter this week of giving of thanks. Wednesday night at my church, we're going to have an hour service. We're going to sing a song or a couple songs, and Pastor will probably speak a little bit about Thanksgiving. And we're going to take communion as a church family as a way of giving thanks. And so this is a really good time to just be thankful to God. And another thing I'm thankful for is uh, this wonderful Coca-Cola. Best soft drink that I've ever known. Of course, everyone has a right to their own opinion. In my personal opinion, and everyone else who thinks Coke the best would obviously agree with me, is that Coke is the best soft drink. You get to choose your flavor preference. Is my favorite regular, cherry, or vanilla? And I don't say which of the three my favorite is really on the show because I want to be a peacemaker. I do have a favorite, as do all the other Coke drinkers out there who choose to drink the regular non-diet version. Is it cherry? Is it vanilla? Or is it classic? You get to choose. Which one do I like the most? I will say this. Regular is easier to find than cherry and is much easier to find than vanilla. Does that mean that regular is my favorite? No. Because I want you folks to get to choose which of the three is your favorite. I will say Coke is much better than Dr. Pepper. And I'm sure Preacher Man's listening. I'm sure he's like, I got something for him. I got something for Miracle Man. You know, one time he called and said, you know, I have a huge 54-ounce thing of Dr. Pepper right there in my truck. He said that while I was saying this about Coke. I believe it was about this point last year. Maybe it was early this year. But, I have but it is awesome. First, I have an announcement to make regarding this week's program. Before I get into talking about what the plan is for the season, the announcement is Wednesday night, I have church at 7. So I'm moving the show to a 4:30 start on Wednesday. So this way we'll have a little more time. Won't be longer than average or anything, but just because I have church at 7. So I'm sure your listeners are flexible and you'll be understanding of that. Now, the plan for tonight. Well, I did talk about, you know, what are we thankful for and why, who had the first Thanksgiving. Over the next couple of nights, we're going to have a few more Thanksgiving tidbits. Thinking tomorrow night, it'll be about the first Thanksgiving. Okay. So the plan is I'm going to give a very brief how to listen to the show. And then we're going to pray. Then we're going to go to Judges chapter 8. And we're going to go to Hebrews 11, but only if time allows us to. And then we're going to exhort a little bit. Then We're going to get into sports. A little bit of Red Wings for you. A little bit of just a win for Michigan State to talk briefly about. And what is happening to the Golden State Warriors. And then Football Central, I have a heap of stuff to get to on football, including what happened with that Midland game. That other D2, Division II game with De La Salle. And what about Division I for high school football? And then Michigan State, what happened in those two games, and then Ohio State. And we also have Lions surprising the Panthers. And then the Saints just totally punishing the Eagles, the Super Bowl champs, who, if the Eagles don't get this fixed, they're not going back to the playoffs. And you don't think the Eagles will make the playoffs if they don't get this fixed, will they?
Absolutely not.
They've got to get this stuff fixed right now.
Yeah.
Something's not working there in Philly that worked last year. Something's going on.
Yeah.
But we'll be talking about that a bit later. So, a little bit about this Monday night game tonight. That is very much hyped, and I think it's very much deserving. As when I get home, basically what's going to happen when I get home tonight, I'm going to go in my house, you know, take care of whatever quick business I have to take care of, and then open my Yahoo Sports app and just tune right into that game. It's an 8:15 p.m. kick from Los Angeles. Remember, got moved from Mexico City to L.A., and Chiefs 9-1 versus Rams 9-1. Very, very good. Very telling game. I think we're going to learn some stuff about the both of these teams tonight. And I'll be here tomorrow night to kind of do a little bit of an analysis on it. On what I saw and whether or not I think it could be a Super Bowl matchup, because it could be. Best of the NFC West versus best of the AFC West, you could have that as your Super Bowl, folks. You could. I'm not saying going to, because you got to factor the Saints. You got to factor but, folks, listeners, I really want to encourage you to please tell people about this great show. Tell them how they can be a part. Tell them about the website. Go to blogtalkradio.com. You'll see a search bar, and in the search bar, you type in Upfront Entertainment. Click on the link that says Living Large. You see a little bubble that says Miracle Man. Click on that thing. After that, you'll see a follow button. We want you to hit that thing. Smash that thing. Because then you're going to get notified when we get ready to do our show, our future shows. Like tomorrow night at 6:30. And then at Wednesday night at probably 4:30. For this week, and then next week back to 6:30 on the nights that we do this. And I want to remind you guys, it is always a very smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. Always. Also, we have a telephone number where you can call in and be a part of the show, and lines are always open. You can talk to me about whatever you want to talk about. Sports, God. And as long as it's not politics. Maybe it's something you want to say you're thankful for. And that telephone number you can call into is area code 215-383-3810. I will say it again so that you have a chance to write this down on a pen and paper or to put it in your smartphone. That number again is area code 215-383-3810. You'll want to listen for the prompts. When you hear the prompt that says call to, if you're looking to call into the live show, press 1. And then my assistant, Annie, will answer the phone. And we want to know where you're calling from so that I can properly recognize you. And we're going to get you on, and I'll say, hey, so-and-so from such and such. What say you? My name is not Bill O'Reilly, but I will say, what say you, or something similar, so that way you have the chance to speak. And like I said, generally we can talk about whatever. And hopefully it'd be a great night here on the program. Now, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to open up our Bible, as it is 6:58, so we're going to open up our Bible for a little bit to Judges 8, but first, dear Lord, we love you very much, Jesus. I'm very thankful for you, to you, God, for everything you've done in my life. I also thank you, Lord, for these listeners who have chosen to be a part of the show tonight. Like, listen in to Raj and Chloe and to all others who have chosen to be a part of this program. I pray, Lord, that these people have hearts to receive of your word and ears to hear of your word, and that they will also be doers of the word and not hearers only. I thank you that they will be taught the incorruptible, indestructible, and perfect word of God. And I thank you that these people will never be the same. Never, never, never. Never, never, never. Lord, I confess over the show right now that finances come into this program. New equipment comes into this program. More and more listeners come into this program, and also partners who want to will come on board who want to help me make this thing bigger and better. And I thank you that most importantly, that souls, many people will choose to come on board and get saved, get right with God right here on this program. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's open up our Bibles, please, to Judges chapter 8. Woo! Judges chapter 8. Judges 8. And I want to encourage you, folks, don't just be a listener. Open your Bible. Study. If I open the Bible, you open it and read along with me. If I sing, you sing. If I pray, you pray. All right? Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Rivers.
Hi, Bonnie from Midland. What
Hi, Ribby.
What
Can
say
you?
You
hear me?
Yes, Bonnie.
What say me? I say
yes.
That I know what your special drink is, your Coke. I know which one's your special one. And I just wanted to tell you that I am so grateful and thankful that you have been in my life.
Aww. That's so wonderful.
And I wanted
to
wish you a happy Thanksgiving, and I'm listening to you, and I love you dearly.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, honey.
All right.
You go ahead now with your Bible study.
I'm going to.
And
yep.
I will listen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Now, as I was saying, if I pray, you pray. If I sing a song unto God, and you know the lyrics, you sing along. And so whatever I do here, you do there. Okay? Now, I'm in Joshua chapter 8. I'm in Judges chapter 8, and here we go. Now, the Ephraimites asked Gideon, "Why have you treated us like this? Why didn't you just call us when you went to fight Midian?" And they criticized him sharply. But he answered them, "What have I accomplished compared to you? Aren't the gleanings of Ephraim's grapes better than the full grape harvest of Abiezer?" God gave Oreb and Zeb, the Midianites leaders, into your hands. What was I about able to do compared to you? At this, their resentment against him subsided. And Gideon and his 300 men, exhausted, yet keeping up the pursuit, came to the Jordan and crossed it. He said to the men of Sechem, "Give my troops some bread. They are worn out, and I am still putting Zeba and Zalmanna, the kings of Midian." But the officials of Sukkot said, "Do you already have the hands of Zeba and Zalmanna in your possession? Why should we give bread to your troops?" Then Gideon replied, "Just for that, when the Lord has given, when the Lord has given Zeba and Zalmanna into my hands, I will tear your flesh with desert thorns and briars." From there, he sent up to Pentel and made the same request of them, but they answered as the men of Sukkoth had. So he said to the men of Peniel, when I return in triumph, I will tear down this tower. Now Ziba and Zomina were in Kama with a force of about 15,000 men. All that were left with the armies of the eastern peoples, 120,000 swordsmen had fallen. And Gideon went up to the house of the nomads east of Nova and Goriama, and he fell upon the unsuspecting army. Ziba and Zomina, the two kings of Midian, fled, but he pursued them and he scattered them, routing their entire army. And Gideon, son of Joash, then returned. Turn the page. From the battle to the pass of Perez. And he caught a young man of Succoth and he questioned him. And the young man wrote down for him the names of the 77 officials of Succoth, the elders of the town. Then Gideon came and said to the men of Succoth, "Here are Ziba and Zomina, about whom you taunted men by saying, 'Do you already have the hands of Ziba and Zomina in your possession? Why should we give bread to your exhausted men?'" He took the elders of the town and he sought the men of Succoth. He taught them a lesson by punishing them with desert thorns and briars. He also pulled down the town of Pentel and he killed the men of the town. Then he asked Ziba and Zomina, "What kind of men did you kill at Telus?" "Men like you," they answered, "each one with the bearing of a prince." Gideon replied, "Those were my brothers, the sons of my own mother. As surely as the Lord lives, if you had spared their lives, I would not kill you." Turning to Jethro, his oldest son, he said, "Kill him." But Jethro did not draw his sword because he was only a boy and he was afraid. Ziba and Zomina said, "Come, do it yourself, as is the man, so is his strength." So Gideon stepped forward and he killed them and took the ornaments off their camels' necks. Verse 22 now. The Israelites said to Gideon, "Rule over us, your son and your grandson, because you have saved us out of the hand of Midian." But Gideon told them, "I will not rule over you, nor will my son rule over you. The Lord will rule over you." And he said, "I do have one request. that each of you give me an earring from your share of the plunder. It was the custom of the Israelites to wear gold earrings. They answered, "We'll be glad to give them." So they spread out a garment, and each man threw a ring from his plunder onto it. The weight of the gold rings he asked for came to 1,700 shekels, not counting the ornaments, the pendants, and the purple garments worn by the kings of Midian, or the chains that were on their camels' necks. Gideon made the gold into an ephod, which he placed in Ophrah, his town. All Israel prostituted themselves by worshiping it there, and it became a snare to Gideon and his family. Verse 28 now. Thus, Midian was subdued before the Israelites and did not raise its head again. During Gideon's lifetime, the land enjoyed peace 40 years. Jubal, son of Joash, went back home to live. He had 70 sons of his own, and he had many wives. His concubine, who lived in Shechem, also bore him a son, whom he named Abimelech. Gideon, son of Joash, died at a good old age and was buried in the tomb of his father Joash in Ophrah of the Abizrites. No sooner had Gideon died than the Israelites again prostituted themselves to the Baals and set up Baal-zebub as their god, and not remember the Lord their God, who had rescued them from the hands of all their enemies on every side. And they also failed to show kindness to the family of Jerubbaal, that is, Gideon, for all of the good things he had done for them. Wow. So, basically, here's what happened. So, what you see here is that Gideon was just this awesome man, and he had this army. Yeah. They did a lot of great things. And Gideon did a lot of great things for Israel. But the Israelites, right once Gideon died, they just decided, he's gone. So now I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to go back to my idols. I'm going to go back to the way I had been. Not the way Christians should be doing it. And they didn't even remember Gideon and what all he had done for them.
This just in, Rev.
Yeah?
Jen, Rachel, and Cassidy are all listening.
Oh, wow.
Give them a shout-out.
Hi, guys. I want to say hello to the great, some of the most awesome people in the world. Donut is listening. Jennifer, by the way. Donut is Jennifer, a.k.a. Donut, is listening. Yes, I do refer to her as such right here on my broadcast because some other people, and they have other people on the show with them, they'll give them stage names and such. And then Cassidy is on board here this evening. And then Rachel is on also. And I got to say, you guys are all awesome. Well, every last one of you. Now, as I was saying about Gideon, those people, they just decided basically after he died, I'm not going to remember them. I'm just going to act like he didn't do nothing for me. I'm not going to be grateful. I'm not going to even remember them. This week, as Christians, we should be like that our whole lives, but at least starting with this week, we should be thankful to God for what he did for us and not forget what he did, not forget his benefits, not forget, and instead be grateful and thankful. And draw closer to God instead of drawing away from him. Please. Because, you know, God, for these Israelites, he did all kinds of things for them. And then those people who were being punished with those thorns, that's what they deserved. I am so thankful that Jesus would save a sinner like me. You know, as someone who got saved when I was little, and I've generally always been real close with God, haven't really ever backslid. You know, obviously at times, almost all Christians, so many Christians all have this thing, you know, of sometimes I'm hotter with God than other times, you know, and that, but I've never gotten to the point where, like, I'm skipping all kinds of church services for, like, weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And I've never gotten it. The Bible does say, though, that all men have sinned. So this applies to all of us. I thank the Lord. I thank Jesus that he would save a sinner like me and that he would make something out of us and use us for his will, because we all have a call. We all do. Every last one of us. And I thank you. My hope is that we would all find it. Get busy for God. Right, folks. Lord, I thank you for these people who have made the choice to listen tonight to this program. I thank you that they, you know, the last one of us, will take this word that we've learned, read, studied tonight, that we would take this word, put it to use. But to good use for you, Jesus.
Hey, Red.
What?
We have a request for you to sing at some point in the show.
Okay. And I thank you, Lord, that we are grateful people. We're thankful people for everything that you've done for us. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're going to sing a song. Those of you who have been around church and things for many, many years. Back to the 1990s and possibly the 80s. I can't say for sure, but I wasn't even born until 89, but this certain song that I'm about to start singing is one that I started to remember hearing in like, I would say 92, 93, even a couple of years before I started to really know what year it was, which was in 95. But very young age, I started hearing this song a lot. It's called Give Thanks. Not sure what it's, who it's by, but this is about true meaning. Thanks, God. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ for us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ for us. And now let the weak say, I am schooled. Let the poor say, I am with Him because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ for us. Lord, I lift Your name on high. Lord, I long to sing Your praises. I'm so glad You're in my life. I'm so glad You came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the cross of man.
my death to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the cross to the grave, my death to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Yes, I'm so grateful. We're so grateful for everything you've done for us, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. A little footstep here.
All right.
Now, we are going to go into sports. And I'm going to start that off by saying Michigan State got a great win over Memphis last night, 80-60. And they're looking really good this year, Michigan State. And their only loss is to the number one ranked team. Looking really good. I think you're going to see Michigan and Michigan State both have very successful programs this year. And I think it's an exciting time to be a basketball fan here in the state of Michigan. I really do. And it's great to see that Michigan is starting to be a basketball stronghold. My hope is that someday, year in and year out, Michigan can be truly known as a basketball state when it comes to college, and hopefully we can get the Pistons being real good again year in and year out so that Michigan can truly be a basketball state. Because I think it can be. I think we got a lot of talent here. I really do. That we can be like competitive with Kentucky and some of these other great to see that Michigan and Michigan State are both doing really good. Red Wings, that winning streak that they were on, got snapped. All right. Now, what's going on with the Warriors? What on earth? I don't know what their deal is. They've lost three times in the last four games, including just a couple nights ago where the Warriors had another loss. I don't know what's going out there in Oakland, but one of my buddies is out there. The great Draymond Green. I'm not going to blame him, but he's made a great name for himself out there, and I'm sure if you're listening from over in the Saginaw area, especially if you went to Saginaw High or maybe you went to some of their games when he was there. I didn't, but other than Midland, at the time when he was there, they were like one of my favorite high school teams in all of Michigan. They were my favorite other than Midland. It was Saginaw High back when he was there. But what's going on out there right now? Why are they losing all these games? I don't know. But we'll talk about one more thing, and then we're going to get into Football Central. And that is, they're saying that the Tigers could be sellers yet again. They're saying that Nick Castellanos could be traded. And to be honest with you, his defense wasn't exactly wonderful. He was a pretty good hitter, but his defense wasn't that great. And he could end up being traded to almost anywhere. Who do I think we really should get rid of, though, instead? Shane Green. Because sometimes he'll have, you know, good closings or good times when he pitches. Other times he's not very good at all. And here's what I have to say about it. He's Shane Green when he pitches really well, S-H-A-N-E, you know, when he's doing really well and doing his job. He's Shane Green when he's not doing well, when we have the lead and Green comes in to pitch and we blow that lead and then they score maybe some more runs off of him. Then he deserves to be called Shane Green if he's doing that. Don't you think?
I agree.
I was doing the same thing back before I even had the show, back when Phil Koch was pitching. Annie, you probably don't know this, but I used to call Phil Koch Phil Pepsi when he would come in and pitch these really bad innings.
Oh, so Pepsi, because Pepsi's not as good as Coke.
Oh yeah.
Okay, I guess.
Yeah, he earned it. And if he's really bad, then I would say Aquafina because I really don't like the taste of Aquafina. I really don't like it. So, if they get to habitually making mistakes like that, and I decide to give them nicknames because of it, they deserve every one of them. But yeah, I do it to be funny, but in a way, they kind of deserve it. But nonetheless, move on to football. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Football Central here on The Miracle Man Show. And this is week number 13 of the series. I do want to remind you that each and every Football Central on Monday and Wednesday is fueled by your local Dairy Queen. Whether you be here in Midland or somewhere else. And go to your local Dairy Queen and check out the amazing stuff they have. They now have a $4, $5, or $6 deal where you can get, for example, starting with 3 chicken strips, fries, and a mini blizzard. And go check out their Cocoa Blizzard as one of the blizzards that Dairy Queen is currently featuring. And remember that Dairy Queen always hits the spot. Always. All right. Let's start with high school football. And let's start right out with Division II. And what happened there? Well, I went to the Midland game on Saturday in Grand Ledge as the Chemics want to take on Mighty Mona Shores. Muskegon Mona Shores. Well, they turned out to be pretty mighty, all right, as Muskegon put up 49 points on us. In fact, 28 of them were unanswered. As Midland Falls, Timona Shores, 49-28. I predicted Midland was going to win. I really thought they were going to, but and at first, you know, first time Muskegon has the football, it only takes them three plays to get a touchdown, and then I'm like, then we come back and we, you know, stuff going, you know, and get on the field, score a touchdown, yeah. Muskegon gets the ball, they fumble, we get the ball, but then we don't move. Hardly much. Then Muskegon, you know, then they're forced to punt. We get the ball. Then we're up 14-7. And so for the first, like, two and a half quarters, it was kind of back and forth. But Midland falls, like I said, 49-28. Midland finishes its season at 9-4. So Muskegon, they have now given up 300 points. Usually, you don't advance to a state championship game if you've given up 300 points. Normally you don't, do you?
No.
So their offense was very good there. They've now given scored almost nearly 600 points. But when you score 600 points like that, you can score, you have a little bit more leeway to give up that kind of point, like 300 over the course of a season, but not quite. A little bit of leeway. In the NFL, though, where you play a 16-game season in the regular season, sometimes they'll end up giving up 300 points and they'll still make it, but that's a bit different, you know. Especially if all your games are competitive, that's different. Mona Shores rolls on to play De La Salle on Saturday at Ford Field at 1 o'clock. As De La Salle just manhandled Birmingham Groves 28-0. So let's go to D1 now. D1. Clarkston taking on Saline in Okemos. And I thought this was going to be a good, close game. Well, the team I wanted to win did win. It was Clarkston. But they totally steamrolled Saline 24-3. As their defense has been very good in this postseason. I don't think none of their postseason games have been very close for Clarkston. None of them. They've done very well. And that makes me pretty happy because Clarkston's basically my next favorite team to be following after Midland. They have a good fan base and that, and they're really supportive. Their band's pretty good. They get to play Chippewa Valley on Saturday. The undefeated Chippewa Valley Big Reds. Figure this out. There's two different undefeated Big Red teams. That's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yep, two of them. Chippewa Valley, they got the win over Belleville as they are rolling in to take on Clarkston. From what I understand, it's supposed to be a pretty good game. It should be an insane crowd. And Saturday at 1, it is Clarkston versus Clinton Township, Chippewa Valley. in Division One. Also, Q.2, and these are for local teams from this area who have made the playoffs. And this is to New Lothrop, as well as Breckenridge. As New Lothrop is in Division 6, and in Division 8 is Breckenridge. Breckenridge 3 years ago was 0-9. Now they're 13-0. They shut out Harbor Beach on Saturday, 12-0. In fact, we had to pull over to the side of the road for a second because they were being escorted away by a bunch of fire trucks over there in Breckenridge. That's actually pretty cool. I mean, saw them getting we thought it was like an emergency or something, but then when I heard some different stuff and that, I was like, oh, wait a minute, they're being escorted. So it was a great send off, and they were able to win. And they will be playing on Friday morning at 10 o'clock. Huge off to Breckenridge and to New Lothrop for claiming their being able to go to the state finals. Hopefully you both get your hardware. Wait a minute. Let me rephrase that. Hopefully you do the best you can so that you can win a state title. Because it's more about the effort than what it is about that silly trophy. You get the trophy if you win. Yeah. Let's move on to college. Number 4 ranked Michigan. They were ranked 4 this past week. By the way, if you're keeping track, they still are number 4. They took on Indiana. At times they were anemic, not looking so well against Indiana. Shane Patterson threw a rare interception in the second half. And Michigan was, however, able to pull away in the second half in order to win 31-20, as their only loss was still in week one. And you know what, folks? If Michigan had been able to beat Notre Dame, I think they would be number 2 right behind Alabama, don't you?
Yeah.
Folks, I can pretty much guarantee this. Just about. But what if Georgia hadn't lost to LSU? What would have happened there?
I don't know.
You would have had Alabama as number 1, but number 2 could have almost been tied. I think it could have been. You could have had that.
Yeah.
Georgia and Michigan. But you don't. And Michigan is number 4. And no, I don't mean that as a letdown. I'm very proud of how well we have done. I figured we would have 3 losses by now. I thought we were going to lose to Wisconsin, but Wisconsin's kind of been down a little bit. I thought we were going to lose to Penn State. So, yeah, I figured we'd be about 3 losses. But we're not. We're at 1, which I'm very proud of. Next up for us is that team down south. What did they do, by the way? They beat Maryland by 1 measly point, 52-51. pretty fun to watch if you like a shootout. Ohio State came, that team down south came down from 14 points behind to get that win. And so there will not be a real prediction from me until Wednesday night. However, to be honest with you folks, I think this could go an awful lot of different ways. You could have Michigan blow out Ohio State. You could have Ohio State blow out Michigan. I think either one of those two is by far least likely, don't you? I think what would be more likely would be Michigan, Ohio State, and either a complete offensive slugfest where one of them wins like 48-45 or something like that, or it could be one of those gritty, like totally filled with defensive grit, and one of them wins like 9-7 or 12-9 or something like that. You could have something like that too. It could go either one of those two ways. Or you could have something in the middle that's close. And who's going to win? I'm not going to say that until Wednesday either. And to be honest with you, tonight I would not be prepared to make that pick. I could honestly say tonight I am not ready. About Urban, I will say, I think that after this year, Urban Meyer should step down from Ohio State, get some things right with his family. But I'm not going to get into all the details in that about what happened for why he was suspended. But I will say this. Find a coach that can focus on the team, the well-being of the team, and about the success of the team down there in Columbus. Because that way, you know, they can continue to be successful. Both Michigan and Ohio State on Saturday both proved that neither one of them is invincible, even though they both won. They both struggled at times, as I documented in the last couple of minutes. A key for Michigan. Patterson cannot throw multiple interceptions. If he throws one, then the Michigan defense has to stand very strong and just get to him. Otherwise, Ohio State is going to score a touchdown, likely. If not that play, possibly like later on in the, like, even if it took five, it could even be 5 or 6 football minutes later that they score. And that could be a difference maker. Turnovers could be. If Ohio State fumbles the ball or gets an interception, if Michigan wants to beat Ohio State, they must capitalize every chance they get. They're going to have to. Because Ohio State is ranked number 10, but if Ohio State beats Michigan, you're going to see Ohio State move up to, like, I would say 6, maybe 5 or something, don't you think?
Yeah, at least.
And then Michigan will go to, like, 8 or 9. So you will totally have flipped that top 25 from blue to gray just with that one game. So for Michigan, it is extremely crucial, extremely. They can't do what State did and give that game away. If you're Michigan, you cannot afford that. This is too important. You worked so well. You worked so hard. My challenge to Michigan is please keep it going. You had a chance. They were doing good the last 2 years. They've had chances to beat Ohio State. And they didn't do it. Will this be the year that they finally do it? I hope so. And I'll announce my prediction on that on Wednesday. Michigan State did get a nice one against Nebraska. So let's go green, go white. Now, let's go over to NFL. And the Lions got a nice win yesterday, 21-20. I mean, 20-19. But it took everything the Lions had to get that win. Everything they had. They had to block a 2-point conversion that Carolina went for in order to hold them. And I think the Lions gave it what they had. They knew Carolina was going to come to Ford Field and try their best, especially after that letdown they had against Pittsburgh. Have they given up that 2-point conversion? I would have been talking about another Lions loss. Guaranteed. And luckily, I don't have to come on and talk negatively about the Lions. They did well. My hope is that they can learn from this win. You know, that celebration time for them came and went because they got, now they got to play Thursday and they got to take on the Bears at Ford Field at 12:30 on Thanksgiving Day. Well, we'll all be getting ready to eat lunch. And by the way, folks, the family is more important than the football. It really is. But the Bears did beat the Vikings yesterday, by the way, 25-21. We played them just 2 weeks ago. I mean, a week, like 9 days ago. So hopefully we learned something from last time so that we can get the Bears this time. Find the weaknesses and get to them. This way, because then by then, we can be thinking we're 5-6 at this point. Anything is possible. Right now, it's not so much that tone, but here's the thing. If we can get a win on Thursday, we can be at least quite a bit closer to that, don't you think?
Yeah.
Like, we can, like, this one win can totally change, you know, the way it looks for the postseason for us, as far as what kind of a chance we would have. If we can get a win, that would totally change it, and we can sit there knowing the Bears, who are ahead, that we won't have to play them again after Thursday. So we would be able to kind of breathe a sigh of relief. We gotta truck along. Hopefully, they'll have some great good practices as Patricia is trying to rally the troops, as they say. All right. What on earth is going on in Philadelphia? In Atlanta, but first Philadelphia. Yesterday, Eagles at Saints was scheduled for a national televised time of 4:15, you know, 4:25, whatever time that was, wasn't there. But what happened was that was not a football game, folks. 48-7, Saints. If the Eagles cannot figure out their stuff, what their issues are, they're not going to be in the playoffs. Dallas got themselves 1-1 closer to the playoffs as they beat Atlanta yesterday. Atlanta has lost 2 in a row. First to the Browns and now to the Cowboys. Cowboys are now sitting there at 5-5. So are the Eagles. Redskins have lost their quarterback, Alex Smith, for possibly ever. With that broken what? What did he break?
I can't remember. Something in his leg, right?
It's something that is extremely serious. Our guy, 33 years ago to the day yesterday, had his career ended by it. And it was a very serious injury. But depending on what their backup can do, folks, you might have the Cowboys back in the playoffs after they didn't make it last year, especially as Zeke Elliott is starting to play better. And let's be honest, I've always enjoyed the Cowboys whenever they've been good. I really have. And this would be good to see, I feel like. And, you know, I've heard the joke before about the old stadium, you know, that the Cowboys used to have, and they would say, the reason there's a hole in this roof is so that God can look down from heaven and watch his favorite team play football. Oh, yeah. And I like to think the same thing about the Cowboys myself. But tonight, Rams, Chiefs in Los Angeles. I think the Rams are going to win. Both of them are 9-1. I'm going to get pretty much right to that game once I get home as it starts at 8:15. You can stream it on the Yahoo.com app. And I will summarize that for you tomorrow evening. And by the way, how did I do on my picks? 5 of 7 correct. And until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.